Welcome to La Cosa Nostra.
I'm Noah.
I'm Eddie, and we're covering
1981's Raiders of the Lost Ark. This was a movie directed by Steven Spielberg, written by Philip Kaufman and George Lucas, and it stars Harrison Ford, Karen Allen, John Rhys-Davies, a bunch more. I'm not reading anything. That is just from what I can remember. Paul Freeman, you know. These are most of the cast are from
Alfred Molina.
Do you know her?
Whoa.
Yeah, so these are mostly TV actors from the time. So, okay, when was the first time you watched Raiders?
I was 7, I think. I just kind of watched them in a row.
Really? Did you like have like the series or something? Like,
I don't
kind of feel like this is the series that like your dad sits you down and like, we're going to watch Raiders of the Lost Ark. Because like, I can't imagine
to be honest.
I can't imagine anybody apart from me actually going out of their way to watch these movies without their parents forcing them to.
Well, I mean, I really enjoyed them. So obviously I've watched them quite a few times. But I mean, the first time I watched it was with my dad. I had like the DVD disc for my birthday of all of them and stuff.
Like for me, I didn't grow up with any like, of those 80s movies. I didn't watch Stand By Me, The Goonies, or Back to the Future,
Empire Strikes Back.
Mostly, it was genuinely like just cartoons. That's probably why I'm as messed up today as I am right now, because it was genuinely just cartoons. And the only two like live action movies we actually grew up with was Annie and Matilda. That is it.
Wow. I still
stand by Matilda is one of the best like children's movies I've seen in my life.
That's something.
I know. So, I never grew up with anything Spielberg, person. Something like this. So, like, it was only when I grew up when I ever saw this. And I remember one time I was about 10 and I was flipping through the channels and this movie came up and I wasn't really sure what it was, because it was a scene where Indy is punching the guy, like, with the plane going on and stuff. And I asked my mom, what is this movie? Like, what is this? And she said, it's Indiana Jones. So, I guess she knew what it was. And I was like, what? And for some reason, I turned it off. Because maybe, like, I got scared because, like, the guy was just... It was the bit where, like, his face got shattered by, like, the wind turbines and stuff. But I turned it off for some reason. And it was only later, well, I was 13. And our teacher in our school was, like, the end of the year, in year 8. And it was, like, this... My form teacher was this 50-year-old man who definitely grew up in the 80s. And the thing that we got... Like, he got to choose whatever we do, like, at the end of term. And he was going to take us to the cinema. I was like, hey! Yeah, we're going to cinema. What are we going to see? You know, it's 2023. So it's a Barbie, Oppenheimer, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. What is it going to be? And then he just goes like this. And he goes like, the hero is 80 years old. I'm like, oh, we're going to see Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. And I didn't know anything about it. So we went to go watch it. And I remember coming out of the theater thinking it's pretty good. And everybody else around me was like, that was awful. And I was like, really? And then after that, I decided to go on my way to go watch more the Indiana Jones series, and I guess we'll get into what I think of them now. So what do you think of, well, let's start, what do you think of the Indiana Jones series?
It's got ups and downs. I think there are some really good ones and there are some low points.
So with me, I love Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones the character is my favorite movie character of all time. That might sound like a really big like claim, but he is just my favorite character of all time. Indiana, like Raiders of the Lost Ark, if there was a movie that could survive to the end of time, like if there was one movie that could survive, this would be it for me. Like if there was only one movie that I would have to watch every single day of my life, it would be Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That is a bold claim.
It is a really bold game, but I love this movie so much. I love the franchise so much, despite the fact that most of the movies are very good. Like you might think, what is the worst Indiana Jones movie? It's Dial of Destiny. It's
so
not even
bad.
Close.
It's
not even close.
And I just feel bad for him. Because I feel like Harrison Ford's... Like,
he
like no offense.
So
he's getting on.
He's getting a bit on.
I feel like he's got
this
to the point where...
This is just not the way that I
he's
think...
got someone reading the scripts for him.
Yeah,
but they're not really reading the
it's
script.
It's not
the
way that I wanted
the money.
Indiana Jones to go out. And then you've got Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which I know a lot of people hate. And like it is just nothing that I can't even bring myself to actually hate it.
It's just Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf is just... I have nothing to say about it because it's just so nothing.
My only problem is I feel it hasn't adapted very well. It's always Nazis. Almost always.
It's not that. My thing with this movie...
It's like, it's 2020, like... 2020.
That's not a problem.
It's coming out 1970. They could have done... No, not It's Coming Out. Yeah, it's set. The last one is set out in 1970. 69
yeah,
even,
so
right? Could have been so many interesting historical storylines there.
But then you go back to the Nazis again. But at least Kingdom of the Crystal Skull did the Soviets. Okay,
it's
fair enough.
Nazis, but
like,
you know,
at least I can remember what happened in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I can't remember a thing that happened in Dial of Destiny. And, you know, Temple of Doom is absolutely insane. And with Temple of Doom, you either really like it or you really hate it.
I don't hate it. I don't like it. Just kind of there.
I'm in the middle where I think it's pretty okay.
It's fine. There's some bits that's really
I'm giving it 4 out of 5 on Letterboxd. It's probably like a 7 out of 10. Because it's it is really just so insane. And I kind of respect Ford, I kind of respect Spielberg and Lucas going for something so different.
My only feeling is that it's very James Bond-esque with the hotel.
But we're going to get into why. We're going to get into why with this movie. But
not this one. The first
no,
one.
But we're going to get into why it kind of feels like that. So with this movie was the idea of George Lucas. And George Lucas came up with this movie like... So basically, George Lucas made this small little movie that I might have called Star Wars. And basically, once Star Wars had came out, like was about to come out, he didn't want to see what reviews it might get because he was scared it was going to get bad reviews. So he went on a trip to Hawaii with his friend Steven Spielberg to go talk about ideas for new movies that they can do. And one of the movies he came up to was going to be a homage to like, do you know the movie serials of the 1930s and 40s?
Serials.
Okay, a serial is essentially the missing link between a TV show and a movie where like...
Oh no, I do know this. It's where it's like a film, but it's split up instead of being...
Yeah.
So it's not like a TV show where each
episode
is self-contained.
So every single one would be like a cliffhanger, you know? So like serials were shown at Saturday matinees.
It's like the stories where it's like only a chapter.
Yeah, so children would go watch them like at 1 o'clock-ish. Along with cartoons and newsreels during the 30s and 40s. Like, examples I can think of are, like, Buck Rogers, the Batman serials, The Mask of Zorro, The Masked Avenger. Those are just some of the few that I can remember off the top of my head. And, like, he grew up with those movies, and they wanted to make a movie like this. But Steven Spielberg, like, he agreed to do it, and the original idea was this movie was going to be more like a James Bond movie. Which might be part of the reason why Sean Connery is in Last Crusade, which is that probably sounds about right. And that was his original villain.
Crusade's my favorite.
I flip flop so much. I'd rather watch Last. I don't know which one I'd rather. Again, I'm really.
I just think there's so much interesting dynamic to Last Crusade. It is very much a Bond movie, just with a more
I think Temple of Doom is more like a Bond movie because the movie starts off. With Indiana Jones in that tweed shirt, a bit of a womanizer, you know. And he really wanted, that was Spielberg's original idea. He was going to be called Indiana Smith. He knew Kung Fu. And, like, he was going to be this guy who, like, womanizes. He gets round and, you know, he goes to nightclubs and stuff like that. That was the original idea. But Lucas was more pushing for it to be a more of an adventure serial. Similar to, like, a Humphrey Bogart in, like, Casablanca or... something like that. But there's a specific movie that they got it from, and I can't remember off the top of my head. That's it. Thank you. Yeah, it's Treasure of the Sierra Madre, and like you know, with the aftershave and everything like that. And that was the original idea for it. And Spielberg, this is 1977. So Spielberg had I just want to get into right now. Steven Spielberg. I am so surprised we have not talked about Steven Spielberg yet on this podcast.
I feel like we've kind of avoided all of the like obvious.
Apart
topics.
From like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which was we kind of touched on there.
Do you want to talk about it? His insane movie run of just bangers.
From
75.
He made
till 2002. He almost never missed.
Because it's like, how do you make Jaws, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Raiders of the Lost Ark, E.T., The Color Purple? Like Empire of the
Saving
Sun,
Private Ryan,
Hook, Jurassic Park, and Schindler's List in the same year. Mm-hmm. Like Saving Private Ryan, AI, Artificial Intelligence, Minority Report, The Adventures of Tintin, The Terminal, West Side Story, Catch Me If You Can, and The Fablemans.
Lincoln. Apparently, he did Lincoln as well.
Yeah.
Like, and Post.
The Post.
I don't know if you guys saw that. Yeah. Apparently, he's got something to do with Gremlins.
Like, Oh, yeah. He produced so many good movies like Poltergeist, Gremlins, Back to the Future, An American Tale, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Men in Black, Land Before Time. Twisters, so many good.
Actually, wasn't that good.
And it's like,
Super 8, he had something to do
with. Yeah, with J.J. Abrams. And it's like, how does one person in their lifetime make this many movies, this many good movies? And my favorite directors are like Wes Anderson, Tim Burton, Spike Lee. But the thing with them, they have very specific styles and they make one kind of movie. Spielberg feels like he can do absolutely anything. He can make an alien movie. He can make a movie of the horrors of the Holocaust. He can make a story about
he's
like...
He's one of those people who's just understands film.
I know.
Like, I think it's quite hard. A lot of people understand what they want to do and they make great movies, which is kind of about them. He just understands the art of film as a whole. He doesn't like, it's not he always necessarily movies. His thing.
And I think Raiders is one of those movies that you can really see. So I actually better get into what I think of Raiders. Raiders of the Lost Ark is my like top five favorite movies of all time.
Fair enough, to be honest.
It is so good. This is just the quintessential movie, okay? This is when, like, everybody has those movies. Everybody who really wants to get into film has one movie that made them love film in the first place.
That's like, crazy if you say this is the one.
This is the one for me. Like, the entire opening of this movie is better than some entire movies in general.
Mine...
Like, the boulder and, like, how, like, he gets, like, with the whip, he gets, like, the gun as well. And it's just, like, this is a movie. This is how you start a movie. The film, the score of this movie is, it's probably a tie between this, The Lion King, and E.T. in terms of my favorite movie scores of all time. It is just, like, that. Obviously, the Raiders theme is so iconic as well. But John Williams actually hits it out of the park with this movie. I'm not sure if I prefer this one over E.T. because E.T.'s theme is so good as well. But, like, it is so, so good. And all the characters, every single character, from Belloc to Marion to, like, Sulla, everybody is just, like, so good in this movie. And it is just... this is just, like, the quintessential movie. The ending of this movie is, like, makes me wonder why they show this movie to children in the first place. Like, why would you ever show this? But when I was watching the featurette, I've got like the, I watched it. I walked into like this like charity shop one day and I stroke of luck. They had like the entire box set of like Raiders, Temple of Doom and Last Crusade for 30 pence. And that was just like, thank you, you know? And I was like, I got that. And like on the Raiders disc, they've got like little featurettes, and one of the featurettes was on how they made the face melting scene. And it's incredible. Like, one of my problems with Dial of Destiny, it felt fake. Yeah. Everything there is your average Disney green screen. I don't feel anything. With this movie, everything is practical. The face melting thing, when I was watching that, it was so incredible to see how they had to get the right temperatures. They had to make sure like the right things melted off at the right time. You know the car chase?
Yes.
The car chase with This is one of the reasons why I think Indiana Jones is so cool. He somehow is able to hijack a Jeep, beat up a bunch of Nazis, and like take the Lost Ark. That is just so cool. And how Harrison Ford did his own stunts. And how everything is all practical. I prefer movies, and that's probably why I like Wes Anderson and Tim Burton so much, because I prefer movies that everything is practical and everything is there. And that was part of the reason why I couldn't really get it into Kingdom of the Crystal Skull or Dial of Destiny. Because I didn't feel anything that I was seeing was really there. And with this movie, this is 1981. So Spielberg had done Jaws in 1975.
Sure.
And he had done Close Encounters in 1977. Yeah. Jaws had become the highest grossing movie of all time at that point. And similarly, Close Encounters was a really big success. And like, it's so weird. Like, I always wonder, at what point did people stop doubting Spielberg could make good things? Because when they were shopping around the script, everybody in every studio in Hollywood did not want it. Nobody wanted the script for Raiders of the Lost Ark. And it was only when he went to Paramount, the head of Paramount, Michael Eisner, who had become really important to the reinvigoration of the Disney company and the Disney Renaissance, when he went to go work for Disney, when he got the script, he said that it was the best script he had ever seen.
That's...
Which is like, that is, if that doesn't tell you how good this movie is, I don't really know what does. he said this is the best script he had ever seen, and he put this movie, and he let them make this movie. And it is just, like, incredible how nobody wanted it. And it's like, hey, the person who directed this directed Jaws and Close Encounters. And yeah, he directed 1941, which wasn't the biggest hit of all time. And, like, it kind of got mixed reviews. But, like, this is still a very talented person. And you know who they... I'd have to get the list. But a bunch of people were in the running to be Indiana Jones.
There's some famous people, no?
Yes. Like, it's, I'm going
to DiCaprio was in there somewhere, I think.
Oh, no. Oh, God, no. This is way too
far. Was he not born?
He's, like, 10?
No.
No, not even 10. Like, he's, like, 5.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah. Okay. So, here are some of the people who were considered for the role. Bill Murray.
Oh, no.
Nick Nolte. Steve Martin. Chevy Chase. Jack Nicholson.
Steve Martin? Come on, guys.
That's the movie I really want to see. Jeff Bridges.
I can see that.
David Hasselhoff.
No. Why?
Okay,
He's already in 80% of films.
What's it? Knight Rider. Is that it? And, like, I feel like... Knight Rider and Baywatch, that's it. And I feel like most people, like, under the age of 20 only know him from the SpongeBob SquarePants movie.
I know him from that one thing in Guardians of the Galaxy where, like, I used to tell my...
Isn't he in Ted as well, though? I swear he's in Ted.
No, that's the guy from Flash Gordon. Oh, that is the funniest celebrity cameo.
Yeah.
Death to me.
I could have sworn that, no, it's not.
That's so funny.
The person that they actually wanted for this movie was Tom Selleck, originally. Of Magnum PI and
can you imagine Indiana Jones? And he's just got a massive, thick, bushy mustache.
Oh my god! But I can surprisingly see. I am so happy it's Harrison Ford, but I can see this movie with Tom Selleck in it.
I just feel like it would turn into, like, it wouldn't be the same film.
It wouldn't be the same movie, but, like, yeah. But he was obligated to shoot the series Magnum PI at the time.
So is Magnum PI any good, guys?
It's a really popular series, so
I feel like it's just a soap.
I've never seen it. I'm not too familiar. Again, like, this is stuff I've all had to learn in, like, the last 3 years. I didn't know the 80s that well until I've actually gone on my way to go find out. So
I feel like I'm more of a 90s, like...
I find the 80s really interesting. Again...
Like, I appreciate the 80s, and what they did for film is, like, incredible compared to, like, some of the stuff that... Like, I mean, it's, like... sensational, but I feel like 90s movies have a bit more.
I know, but, like, no, I've got, like, greater respect for, like, the 80s movies. Okay, like, with this movie, there's been this theory, you might say, that, like, the lost arc, like, the ending, I've already said it, but the ending is one of my favorite endings to any movie. First of all, the shot where, like, all the people are digging, I'd have to find the shot, like, where all the people are digging and, like, Indiana Jones is just, like, looking up to the sky.
Is this the one where he gets trapped in the bunker with the snakes?
Yeah. Oh my god.
And he figures out, like, that he's got to, like, look at the light or something through this, like.
Oh my god, that is such a cool scene as well.
I get them quite mixed up.
It's this scene, like, it's this one here, where, like, they.
Oh, with the light. Yes.
No, it's not. No, like, how can I find it? Like, it's this one. It's this one. It's this one where, like, the sky's all blue and stuff. And it's kind of reminiscent to Cecil DeMille's 1956 movie, The Ten Commandments, if I find a picture of The Ten Commandments. Like, because, again, we've talked about it, but Spielberg had a lot of respect for old movies. You know, the movies that he grew up with. So, where is it? Look, then you see this.
Yes.
Yeah, you can see. So I love that homage to the Ten Commandments because it kind of shows how Indiana Jones is about to become part of, like, biblical history by finding the Lost Ark. But, oh my god, the ending to this movie. Like, I like, and this is kind of a theory, I'm not sure if this was actually what they were intending for, but I like that the thing that destroys the Nazis was a Jewish artifact. I think that is a really smart idea to have, like, the Nazis' commandment to be, like, the souls of all these Jewish people in history. That is such a good idea. And I think maybe this is true, but I think that was what Spielberg was going for. Yeah, which I think that is absolutely incredible in this movie. I know. So, like, what is your favorite part of the movie? Because
I think the opening scene is really good. I feel like it's kind of a cliche to say, though.
Yeah, but it is incredible.
Honestly, I don't think there's like a, it's just a good, consistent movie. There's no like, I mean, obviously, I don't know about, I think, is this the one with the gun scene where he shoots down the guy with the sword? Oh my
God, there's a great story about that. The guy who had been doing, it wasn't even improvised, because it was like, the guy who was doing all that sword fights, he'd been practicing for so long, and because the weather was so hot there,
Harrison Ford was ill on the day.
He was ill, and he was like, shot the guy. And he talked to Spielberg like, bro, I can't do this. Can I just shoot the guy? And it's made one of the fun. I feel bad for the guy who wanted to deal with the sword wielding stuff, but like, it is so funny how it's, how like Indiana just like, I actually don't have time for this. Just shoots. It is so funny, and you know that scene is great. The opening is obviously incredible,
and the ending, and honestly everything in between.
Oh my God, it is just so good, and oh geez, like I've talked about the music with this movie, The cast is
Ravenwood as well.
Oh my God, Mary! I think this entire franchise has dealt her such a bad hand. Cause one, in Temple of Doom, but they just could not be asked to make a sequel, so they made a prequel. So she's not in that. Last Crusade, they ditched her. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. She's in it for like 20 minutes and she doesn't really do anything.
She basically just cries that her son died.
Yeah, Dial of Destiny, in its infinite wisdom, decides to cut her out of the story and let her be in a glorified cameo. It is just... Sala is in the movie more than she is. And yeah, one day we might talk about what a train wreck Dial of Destiny is, but I'll be like, for the last 5 weeks, I was watching the four Indiana Jones movies and I could not even be asked to get to Dial of Destiny because it's just not worth my time. At all. James Mangold, he's clearly James Mangold directed A Complete Unknown.
That was good.
That was good.
And
Logan.
And like, he's not incompetent, but he's not Steven Spielberg. You know?
He's not incompetent.
That's
a bit.
He's obviously a very talented person.
All right. Yes, he's had some bad ones. This guy made A Complete Unknown, Logan, Ford versus Ferrari. The Line, A Girl Interrupted, Night and Day was terrible. That's not going to help.
But like, yeah, like looking at that, he is clearly knows what he's doing.
No, I don't think he did The Greatest Showman.
No.
But still.
I like the rebound from, you know, I always hate it when like all these people like Jon Favreau, Tim Burton are toiling away at the Mouse Factory to go make like live action remakes and reboots. Like, if you're a talented director, don't go work for Disney.
But Ford versus Ferrari, that was like, I feel like it gets a lot of laurels, but it doesn't get enough. Mm-hmm. It's kind of given laurels as a fun movie, but it's like, it's a very good movie. And it gives Christian Bale, like, that's a performance of a lifetime there. He's severely underrated, Christian Bale. I feel like no one talks about him as much as they should.
He'd be in another Spielberg. He'd be in a Spielberg movie and Empire of the Sun. Yeah.
Was that his first one?
Yeah. Yes, it was. I could be completely wrong. Is he in Newsies?
No.
Somebody is in Newsies.
Oh, he is in Newsies. He is in Newsies.
Okay.
This guy, I mean, like, American Psycho, Dark Knight, the entire Dark Knight trilogy, to be honest. The Machinist, Ford vs. Ferrari, The Prestige, The Big Short, Empire of the Sun, The Fighter, Vice, Terminator, Salvation.
Never seen
310 to Yuma, Public Enemies, supposed to be quite good. Amsterdam, right, which was supposed to be not great. And he did the voice dub for Howl's Moving Castle.
Yeah, like, is it him? No, yes. No, it's Robert Pattinson in, what's it called? The Boy and the Heron, that's it. With this movie, can we talk about the Nazi monkey?
Yes, we talk about the Nazi monkey.
I find it the funniest thing in the world that they somehow taught a monkey to do the Hitler salute. It is just, He doesn't know he's a monkey.
No, but think about the time it would take
to teach a monkey to do the headless. I'm not sure if they put like a fruit up.
And
who
suggested that?
Oh, yeah. Let's teach a monkey to be a Nazi.
Steven Spielberg sat down with an animal trainer. Anyway, you're going to want to sit down for this. I want to make a monkey be a Nazi. Like,
and
how do you explain that to someone?
And that's the thing with this movie.
The monkey just, did he have weird views? And Steven Spielberg was like, you know what? Yeah, I love this. Yeah,
and it's like, I think something that people don't talk enough about Steven Spielberg, he can be a pretty funny guy in terms of his movies. Like, I was watching, like, Last Crusade is a really funny movie, like, a surprisingly funny movie. And in this movie, you still really get that it is actually really funny. And you've got, have you seen the bit where, brutal. Like, Belloc eats the...
the difference between the pictures of Lucas and Spielberg is so funny. Yes, to get the monkey to perform a Nazi salute, the trainer hit it on the head to make it touch the affected area. When this did not work,
the filmmakers hung
a grape over its head to encourage it to reach up. It took 50 takes to capture.
Again, that is why I love movies so much, in compared to the ones that we have nowadays, where you'd probably just get a CGI a monkey doing the Hitler salute. Here, you actually had to teach a monkey how to do it.
A partially deaf rat. How do you find out it's partially deaf?
And I love the fact that, oh my God, how did they do it? In the scene with all the snakes, I can't remember. I'm not sure if they had to tape a bunch of... I'm not sure if it was rats, but they had to tape this type, like an animal together to make it look like a snake. Because they did not have enough snakes. You'd have to find it there. Like, they had too few.
Too few snakes. Lack of argument. There were repeated delays while filming the Well of Souls scene. There were too few snakes, a lack of anti-venom, and Stanley Kubrick's daughter Vivian, who was visiting Kubrick on the set of The Shining, called the RSPCA about the treatment of the snakes.
Oh my God, movie. Yeah, stop. Just like stuff you find out. It's just incredible. That is incredible. I had no clue about that. Like, the snakes were harmless. They had to use legless lizards. Legless lizards. That is just...
How do you, this is so random. A partially deaf rat, legless lizards, Nazi monkey, like...
Well, have you ever seen Slow Ones? Because that's what a legless...
Oh, well, Slow Ones are scary. I saw one. I was like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
Ah!
That's what a legless
lizard is. It's basically just a snake.
Yeah.
What was George Lucas doing at this time? So George Lucas had done American Graffiti. He had done...
Is that good?
Apparently, it's a very good movie. That's why they call it THX.
Yeah. Okay, American Graffiti, THX,
and then he did Star Wars. And then he handed Star Wars over to... I can't remember his name at this current moment. For The Empire Strikes
95% for American Graffiti.
Yeah. I know. And then, yeah, he was the person who...
What's about?
It's like teenage...
Like teenagers. Yeah. On like the last day
before college. Oh, fun. What is THX? This looks really weird.
Like a 1984
style.
Yeah.
So this is a Robert Zemeckis situation, which this was George Lucas before he went off the deep end.
He did Howard the Duck. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. He probably produced it or something.
Will and Hayek.
No, because like I've always thought like George Lucas went off the deep end as soon as he decided that one, it's a good idea to start directing the Star Wars prequels. Two, to redo all of Star Wars with CGI. Yeah, yeah. Have you seen the E.T. with CGI?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's... the guns with the walkie-talkies, it's so weird. I was seeing a bit of Jabba the Hutt as CGI in Return of the Jedi? I'm not too familiar with Star Wars. And it's so weird because you've got Harrison Ford next to him. And like, yeah, we have to talk about Harrison Ford as well. Like,
he's pretty good in this.
I was watching a documentary about him. You know, he was a carpenter?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a commenter when like the acting bills weren't paying.
No, briefly, I feel we need to cover. Harrison Ford, just his career can't die. He's unkillable.
I know.
He's been on so many, I mean, like, it's insane. It's actually insane. I think in almost every single major series, he has done something. He's in Marvel. He's in Star Wars.
He did Indiana Jones.
He did a whole series about the president. Air Force One.
Oh, I know you're kidding.
Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger.
And he's the president in A Brave New World.
Yeah.
Correct.
He's
that's incredible. That is quite funny.
He's done so many bad
It was so
things.
Random. I was watching Anchorman 2 the other day. It just inexplicably turns up in it. I'm like, I mean, everybody's in Anchorman 2 for some reason.
He did a movie about Jackie Robinson.
Did he?
Because he just felt like doing it.
Yeah. And then he's done The Fugitive.
He's in The Age of Adeline.
Yeah. He is great in this movie. He is so charismatic. He is like a Humphrey Bogart kind of person in this movie. And, you know, he adds, and a lot of people complain that, like, there's this episode of the Big Bang Theory where, like, Sheldon Cooper's like, oh, like, Indiana Jones doesn't do anything in Raiders of the Lost Ark. That the Nazis would have died without them. And I'm like, okay, one, I don't need him to do something. I think it's more cathartic, like, if the thing that kills the Nazis is a Jewish artifact instead. Mm-hmm. And with this movie, I don't, and another complaint was that, oh, Indiana Jones, he doesn't really have that much personality in Raiders. And that personality only comes out in Last Crusade when you have his father. In my opinion, I don't really need him to have that much personality. Like, he does have a personality. We just don't know that much about him.
You know,
but, like, you've got characters like James Bond, the man with no name. You don't specifically need to know this much about a character for you to feel a connection to them, you know?
Do you know what Harrison Ford is in?
What?
A wonderful 1978 film called The Star Wars Holiday Special. Have we heard about this?
I love the fact that this is nearly as infamous as the E.T. Atari game. It's kind of beautiful.
I didn't know this existed. Did you not know? I may have to watch this.
Oh my God, did you not know about... I thought that was just general knowledge at this point.
The special has...
Because, like, it was so bad that I can't find it. I genuinely can't...
It's on YouTube.
No, because Disney isn't, like, everything Star Wars is on Disney Plus, apart from the Star Wars Holiday Special.
It's right here. The Star Wars Holiday Special, 1978, full, no commercials. We may have to do this on the show.
Oh my God. We're gonna have to talk about this and the E.T. Atari game, because one day, because I know.
What is this? It looks like the Teletubbies.
Oh my God.
It's really, really
bad. It's straight after the first Star Wars as well. Like, okay, so, like...
Oh, I was going to say, have we heard about... We know Spaceballs, yeah?
Yeah.
Do we know the thing about... Because obviously Harrison Ford famously played Han Solo and Indiana Jones very quickly after each other.
Yeah, that's 4 years, I want
to... Yeah.
Three, four,
they spoofed Star Wars in Spaceballs. Yeah. They had the rights to do it for everything, except Han Solo couldn't dress as Han Solo. So to take the mick, he's dressed as Indiana Jones.
That's quite funny. Such a Mel Brooks thing to do. That's great. Spaceballs is a movie I'm going to get to at some point, you know. But with this movie, like, is there anything else that, like, how we feel about it wise? Like, I've already talked about how I love, like, how everything is so practical in this movie. The score, absolutely incredible. Like, the connection between, I really like the connection between Marion and Indiana Jones in this movie, because it's like, it is... I do like those old golden age of movies, you know, His Girl Friday?
Yeah.
Yes.
Why does the Wookiee look different?
And like, and like Casablanca as well. And it's like, I love the connection that they have in this movie. Like, it is so reminiscent of those movies. And again, you can really feel how much respect Spielberg had for those old movies, not just the adventure serials, which I think are really cool. And I really think they should bring back, you know, do those adventure serial kind of movies, make them pulpy again, you know? Like Indiana Jones, like Raiders of the Lost Ark, and you can say this for the trilogy, kind of Temple of Doom. Like, they are big blockbusters, but they're not big, dumb blockbusters. Mm. These are still really smart movies. Yeah. And I love the bit, like, how, like, there's before the adventure, like there's this little bit, you have to do like all this historical context and this intrigue and finding out about it. And I love the part where Indy goes into like the, like, what's it like, where you have the model. Yeah. And like how he shines the light and it comes down in there. Not just that is so well shot, which I just want to say, I think after Close Encounters, Spielberg just became amazing at just like using lights. Like, Close Encounters is probably my favorite in terms of how he uses lights, but in this movie, it's so good as well. No, Close Encounters. Oh God, like.
No, I'm not on.
Oh, something else.
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure. If West Side Story is my favorite in
West
terms
Story
of how
we very, use, very good.
I think it might be my favorite in terms of how we used like lighting in that movie.
With the church.
And it's like, it's got him.
Oh my God, and the charge. That was the bit where like I had to stop. Go back to my sister and say, that is beautiful. That is beautiful, you know? And, you know, recently I've been watching a bunch of Spielberg movies, you know? I'm just so in awe of everything that this guy has done. And Raiders is easily Schindler's List is, in my opinion, the pinnacle of everything that he's ever done. But if there's any movie I would like watch to the end of time, it's Raiders. So in terms of this movie, when it came out, 1981, in terms of movies, the big movie people expected that year was going to be Superman 2. Because Superman 2, like Superman had come out in 1978 and it was like reinvigorated the genre of...
Evil Dead?
It kind of reinvigorated the genre of superhero movies. Yeah. And like everybody was like, yeah, that's going to be the big movie of this time. Other ones were like... Stripes, the great Muppet Caper. Escape, which one's that?
Escape from New York. There's a currently running joke, which was if the New York Knicks had won the NBA like playoffs, it would be an Escape from New York to like try and get out.
Oh. Yeah, and like there was a Bond movie that year. I can't tell you off the top of my head because I have not memorized Bond movies. And when this movie was coming out, like, yeah, people were like, this movie was quite different from nowadays. Where like, nowadays, when a movie comes out, if a movie is successful, it has a lot of hype. It comes out for the first 2 weeks, it's successful. Starts at number one, then it makes all of its money in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Raiders was a little different. Raiders came out and, you know, there was still, you know, yeah, there was still like publicity for it and stuff. There was a £10,000 publicity campaign with a bunch of animals like they used for that. And when this movie came out, like it started off at number one, and then it dropped to number two, and then it went back to number one. Which I think the last time that happened is with what's it called, Crazy Rich Asians, where it goes from one down to two and then up again. Do you know how long Raiders stayed in theaters for? Raiders
3-4
Raiders came out in June 12th, 1981. The movie left theaters in March 1982. And some theaters were still playing it into July of 1982. This movie blew the doors off. It was the fourth highest grossing movie of 1981, easily beating out Superman 2 and it was the fourth highest grossing movie of all time behind Jaws, The Empire Strikes Back, and Star Wars.
Of all time?
At that point. And then E.T. comes off the next year and does E.T. numbers.
And then Avatar.
In terms of highest grossing movie, it goes Spielberg, Lucas, Spielberg. And so it goes Jaws, Star Wars, E.T., Jurassic Park, this is just how it's gone. So Jurassic Park, so that's Spielberg twice in a row. Then it goes James Cameron with Titanic. Then it goes James Cameron again with Avatar. And then it goes to Marvel with Endgame. So that's how it's gone in terms of the highest grossing movies. Like,
I swear Avatar was number one though.
Yeah, it goes Titanic. No. Because they re-released like... No, you're right. You're right. Avatar, you're completely right. Because it was originally Endgame. Then they re-released Avatar again, and then it made like I think like 100 million more. So like it's like 2.
Okay, highest grossing films. Do we want just straight or do we want adjusted for inflation?
It's adjusted for inflation. It's kind of hard because then you get stuff like Snow
White. Okay, number one is Gone with the Wind.
That's always a bit tough because like see like Snow White in the top of that, and it obviously has not made that compared to.
It's number one is Avatar with 2.9 billion.
Billion, yeah.
Then Avengers Endgame 2.7 billion. Avatar: The Way of Water 2.3 billion. Titanic 2.2 billion. Nezha 2.
Yeah, that's a new Chinese movie that came out.
2.2 billion.
I think it's an animated Chinese movie that Because Inside Out 2 was the highest grossing animated movie for a while, and this came out. And then I think the Chinese market is very big in terms of box office.
So it's actually quite interesting.
I know. But in terms of, I was checking for inflation today, and if Raiders of the Lost Ark came out today, it made $1.185 billion.
Yeah, adjusted for inflation, E.T. is the seventh highest film.
Yeah, because E.T. made...
2.9 adjusted for inflation.
Can I just say, I watched E.T., I like it.
It is good.
But it's not the like the be-all, end-all of movies. Like, is it? Like, okay, I understand. Like, okay, in terms of accolades with this movie, it got, I think, 9 Academy Award nominations, and one of them was for Best Picture. And, like, similar for Jurassic Park, Jaws, and Schindler's List. But E.T., really? You're giving that a Best Picture nomination?
That's my favorite
Spielberg. Oh, we'll have to talk about this.
Oh, yeah, I'm still kind of on the grossing thing. Do you want the highest grossing franchises?
It's probably Marvel, if I'm being honest.
31.9 billion Marvel.
Yeah, easy, because they released they released two movies a year consecutively Avengers, for the last 15 years.
Avengers alone, which is only four movies, 7.7 billion. It's the sixth highest grossing alone.
Yeah, but like you always have to account for inflation with these movies, you know.
But then when you look at Shrek, Shrek probably is like 4 billion.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's ridiculous.
But like Indiana Jones, I think it's 5 billion. No, because I just want to say it's so interesting to see. Dial of Destiny cost nearly $300 million, might even be more. Do you know how much the original trilogy cost altogether?
Less.
90.
All of them together? Wow.
Because this movie cost about...
Psycho.
And it's so interesting to see. You know, the original Star Wars only cost $11
million. Yeah, yeah.
And no, E.T. only cost about 10.
I think that's the thing. When you starve a filmmaker of money,
yeah,
he gets more creative.
He gets way more creative. With this movie, they have to find out way more creative ways to do it, you know? Like, you know, this movie is so creative in how they go about things. Like, the entire opening, it's just like... I love how everything's so practical. I keep talking about how practical it is. But it's like you don't see that anymore in a movie. You don't see practical effects. Again, CGI has revolutionized movies. I guess in part because of Steven Spielberg. But like...
Apparently apart from the Mission Impossible movies, because he just wants to do it.
Yeah. But it's so cool to see like actual people doing the actual stunts. Harrison Ford doing his own stunts in this movie. You know, everybody like actually doing it themselves, which I really prefer.
Did you see the Oscars has got a new category for stunts?
Oh, that's cool.
Starting to, because I was thinking like, they really needed that. Like, it's a bit of a joke now.
I think it's too little, too late, personally. Because like, we live in a world where like you could easily just CGI it instead of actual doing actual stunts. If this was doing something back in the 80s or 90s, I get it. Really? One of the reviews for this, okay, like obviously this movie got absolutely glowing reviews. Like, they were considering it like one of the best movies to be made in a long time. And like, yeah, so one of my favorite reviews is that a person called Richard Schiskel, who was a film historian and journalist, described it as a movie that Walt Disney would have made when he was still alive, which is probably why I feel really close to it, because it's got that mix of something that's really enchanting with fantasy, but something that's still really cinematic as well. It reminds me of like a Pinocchio or a 10,000 Leagues Under the Sea. You know, and that's probably why I feel so close to it. It can be really enchanting as well, but you've also got that beautiful cinematic movement. And I already knew that Spielberg's got a lot of respect for the older Disney movies. Like Pinocchio is a running theme during Close Encounters of the Third Kind, like a really big running theme. And you've got like everything that he did with animation afterwards. So I think that's why I also feel really close to this movie. So in terms of it received 5 Academy Awards. Best art direction, best film editing, best sound editing, and best visual effects.
Yeah, best film.
I probably have to check best picture for that year. It got nominated, but it's a blockbuster movie, I can't really. Chariots of Fire, which is a pretty famous movie.
Chariots of Fire.
Yes, you know
that was 1982.
Yeah,
with the Evangelist. Yeah.
So like, yeah, I guess
the camera looks a lot crisper than you'd expect from a 1982 movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the year that Gandhi came out.
No, Gandhi came out. Yeah. What's Vincent Price doing? What's he doing there? What's Rick Baker was actually supposed to do the. Was it for E.T.? I can't remember what it was. I think it was for E.T.
Yeah.
But Rick Baker, just want to say, he was incredible makeup. I think he's done it for Beetlejuice, Batman, Edward Scissorhands, a lot of Burton's movies. So it got nominated for Best Picture. It got nominated for Best Picture as well.
Why have we got Ben Kingsley, a British actor, playing Gandhi?
Well, you could say that.
In a movie that's against the British?
You can say the exact same thing for John Rhys-Davies. As a Welsh actor playing somebody, I can't believe Disney still let him come back for Dial of Destiny just because of that, because I know how touchy-feely they are on this. And I just want to say with this movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, I beg for the day they re-release it in theaters, because I always find it so interesting talking to all these people who are like, they've seen Jurassic Park in cinemas and they saw E.T. when it came out, and Jaws is coming out in theaters in August. I am definitely going to go see that.
No, but John Rhys-Davies was like, at least in the Gandhi movie, that was brown face. He literally changed the colour of his skin.
Yeah, but no, it's still like John Rhys-Davies is essentially the same thing. But it's no malice. You could say, I don't feel there's any malice in it. So like, it's not.
Yeah, but it's like.
It's a complicated subject.
It's different. As long as it's not like. Because before I get in trouble.
It's the kind of thing where like Hank Azaria playing like Apu on The Simpsons. It was. But so I said Raiders is one of those movies that I really feel if they ever re-release it, I am definitely going straight to the cinema to go see, because this is one of the most awe-inspiring, incredible movies I've ever seen in my life. This is the reason why I love movies so much. And yeah, that's one of Spielberg's, it is one of my favorite Spielberg movies. I don't think I've seen enough to actually properly say what is the best. Because I've seen about 15 out of his 35 movies, so I probably should see more. But man, this is a great movie. They're on the AFI's 100 Best Heroes and Villains, they had Indiana Jones as the number two best main character. Two. Do you know who? You might enjoy this. Atticus Finch. From The Good Ones. Yeah.
Edward Spacer.
He's so cool. You guys don't... Have you guys read the book?
No.
Seen the film? You guys don't understand. He stands outside a prison at midnight, holding a light, waiting for a mob of angry, backward, like, rednecks to come at him. He's a 50-year-old man, which at the time was considered old, standing there, frail, waiting for them to come. He kills a dog, one shot, complains that it was to the left.
Yeah. So there you go, like... There you go. Yes. And it's quite interesting to see. Harrison Ford actually appears twice on this list. He's also Han Solo as well. So like, yeah. On Letterboxd, I've given this movie 4.5. Wow. This might have just changed my mind. I think I'm five. This is just so good. Just one of my favorite movies of
four
all time.
4.5, I think.
Fair.
Like, it's
fair
really, enough. Really good. But to me, it is ultimately, we can give it 5, but no, ultimately for me, a blockbuster, I think.
But I don't think
I don't have a problem against them, but I feel like...
But it's not a big, dumb, movies. This isn't a big, dumb blockbuster.
But he's done better.
Yeah.
Like Jaws, E.T., I would say are better
not
than Raiders.
E.T.
Actually,
not,
you know what? I'm being mean. Give it a 5.
I love Raiders of the Lost Ark. My favorite movie of all time.
Really good.
It's good. It's
not
good.
Not the best movie I've ever seen, but easily my favorite.
Okay, well.
That's it.
I think that brings us to the end.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. I've been Eddie.
I've been Noah.